The third word from the cross is from the Gospel according to John, the 19th chapter. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, what wondrous love is this, that a mother should watch her son die. Mary perhaps always knew that it was coming. From the very word of Simeon, the song of Simeon, Mary must have heard that this would happen, that a sword would pierce her own heart as well. Surely the sword of the centurion pierced her heart as it pierced the heart of her son, her baby boy, the son of Mary. Can you imagine Mary that day? Can you imagine a mother staring up at her son, naked for all the world to see, as naked upon the cross as the day she pushed him out into the world from her womb? Can you imagine the smell of blood coming from the cross, the same smell of blood she sensed when she kissed his skinned little knees? Can you imagine hearing the cry of thirst from her son, her Jesus, the same cry that he would scream for the milk from her breast? Can you imagine the pain she watched, the agony that came from the same place when Jesus even mourned the death of his adoptive father? Can you imagine this day, this woman, as she watches her little baby boy killed, murdered, tortured upon the cross? And can you imagine, as Mary treasured up all these things in her heart, that she knew that her little baby boy was doing this for her? Do you think that she thought even of you that day? I do. I think that she thought of all of those who would come into the kingdom of her son, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus. And she prayed. She knew what to pray for. I think she knew her son's teachings well, that he prayed for you, and that he would go to the cross for you. And I think that as Mary gazed up at the disgusting, gruesome, disfigured visage of her son, that she thought of the words of Simeon, the same words that we sing today in the Nunc Dimittis, after the Lord's Supper, because her grief was too much to bear. For you and me, we sing the Nunc Dimittis with joy. We sing it as if we were saying, "Lord, I have received your supper, your strength, your forgiveness. I am ready, Lord, for my death. And it will be a good death because it is in you. You are mine and I am yours." But Mary, watching her son groaned in agony, echoing even the groans of his agony. And she prayed. A mother's grief watching her children is one thing. But to watch her son become sin itself for the sake of the world, even this must have been too much to bear. You can hear her heart breaking in the words of Simeon. You can hear the despair that she felt in her soul. And you can imagine her crying, sobbing, gasping for air. Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. For her, it's not a prayer of hope and joy this day, but a prayer to be released from the pain of watching her firstborn son die. Truly, she knew that her Jesus was a servant of God. And not just a servant, but a son, the son. Truly, she trusted in the Lord's word, even this day, just as she trusted the word of God as it was delivered her by the angel. Yet even faced with such despair, it's easy to understand it when all hope seems lost. There's no coming back from the cross. She had seen it before. The cross. The cross is nothing new for the Romans. They knew how to do the torture well. All she could do was think back on the suffering that she had seen over her 40 years. As she was walking by the torture hill that the Romans used for such things. And the agony and the coming death would last for days. You could enter Jerusalem and leave it days later, and the same people would be there. Mary had seen this, and she was used to it. And while never loving that thing, that cross, she would have understood it. But now, it's personal. And cut to the quick, because she knew that that's what her Jesus was going to suffer. And all that she could do, all that this mother could do, she couldn't bear the pain. She couldn't take his place. All that she could do was pray for a quick death for him and for herself. But look at the love of her little boy towards her. To watch his mother suffer so must have surely been near the greatest part of his agony upon the cross. As he watched her, her pain only added to his despair. And even then, in his own despair, even in his own suffering, even in his own shame, he loved her. He loved her. She is his mother. She is the one who fed him when he was hungry, who tended his wounds, who kissed his knees, who taught him how to be a man, who watched him grow. She is a chosen woman, a blessed woman, chosen to bear the Son of God into the world, and he loved her for that. He loved her dearly. And in his love, even in his distress, you can see that love come out. Lifting his weak, broken body off of the cross just a little, You can hear him croak out the words, "Woman, behold your son." And just a little nod toward the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, thereby fell back on the cross. The pain of lifting his bones through the nails overcoming him. And yet moving again out of love. Bone scraping against metal, against wood, flayed flesh digging into splinters. He lifts himself and he speaks, "John, behold your mother." Even in his agony, out of his love for his mother, Jesus places her care into the disciples' hands. She would be tended. She would be loved. She would be taken care of. Did Jesus know that he would be resurrected from the dead? Certainly, he read the scriptures. But he knew that his place was to be at the right hand of the Father at his ascension. And so he passed the care that he was supposed to show to his aging mother, he gave it to one who would fulfill the Lord's wishes. And now, what child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? This Christmas hymn is for us today a Lenten hymn, a Holy Week hymn. For Mary knew that her son, come down from the cross, would be given to her, and she would cradle his dead flesh, and she would stroke his hair one last time, and she would kiss his cheek, burying her face there for just one more smell. She would weep for her son with despair that only a mother could muster. But the end, my friends, is not written at the foot of the cross that day, but at the rut of the stone rolled from the tomb. For Mary's dead son would sleep in death for not but 3 days, and that Easter Sunday be resurrected. And there Mary would again find hope. She would find peace, she would find joy, and she would find John, the beloved disciple who would take her into his home for the rest of her life. You see, this is the love of Jesus for you. His love for his mother is his love also for you. And though your sin and your shame sent him to the cross, he willingly laid down his life for you, for he cares for you as he cares for Mary. He loves you. He loves his mother. And you today are Mary, gathered to watch him die. And though her soul was pierced that day of the cross in the resurrection of her son, Mary found hope that she would be reunited with him forever, as will you. Mary found joy that she would kiss his cheek forever, as will you. Mary found peace that she would cling to him forever, as will you. For the bleeding, dying, agonizing Jesus would be made whole as the first fruits of the dead, the firstborn of the grave, never to die again. And so will you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.